other great days. And you can say, what a day, when you see different occurrences throughout the divine revelation of God. If you take your Bible, you can go back to the book of Genesis and the 6th chapter and the 7th chapter, and you'll recall what a day it was when God commanded Noah to build an ark. When God looked down from the heavens and He repented that He made man because the evil of man's imagination was great. Man's mind was upon evil continuously, and thus God was going to destroy man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and God commanded that man to build an ark. Now, my friend, I want you to recognize that man spent over 120 years building that ark. And the whole time he preached to the people, you need to get into the ark. And yet, my friend, you'll find that the only ones that got into the ark were Noah and his family. And you'll recall that at that time, everyone else was taken away and perished in the flood. Have you ever stopped to think about what a day when God sent the flood and the people perished because they did not heed the preacher of righteousness as is brought out in the book of Peter? But if you have your Bible, think about another thing. Think about the day of Abraham. Have you ever thought about that day when God told Abraham to take his only son, Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice in Genesis 22? Can you imagine it said it was a 3-day journey? It almost reminds you as the parallel of Jesus. But here was for 3 days in the mind of Abraham, his son was good as dead because he was going to lay him up on the altar of sacrifice and he was going to sacrifice him to God. And you remember Abraham had the knife pulled out. Abraham was ready to slay his son, and God stayed his hand. And you remember that God provided a ram at that time to sacrifice. But I want you to think about, my friend, here was a man who was going to fulfill the will of God. What a day! What great faith Abraham displayed to do exactly what God told him to do. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Exodus and the 14th chapter. And when you come to the book of Exodus and the 14th chapter, you recall Moses is leading the people of God out of Egyptian captivity. And you'll remember that in Exodus chapter 14, they come to the Red Sea. And you'll remember that it says in verse 13 that they were to stand still and notice they were to see the salvation of the Lord. And you'll recall that at that time, God parted the waters, and the water congealed. And the Bible says in the book of Exodus and the 14th chapter, that at that particular time, they walked across on dry land. Look, if you will, at verse 21. In verse 21, the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Can you imagine the day when the people of God at that time stepped foot on dry land? You know, my friend, the bottom of the Red Sea's not been dry since. But because God wanted it to be dry, and God wanted His people to be delivered from the Egyptian captivity, God parted the water. Can you imagine what a day that was? Can you just picture in your mind what it was like to be walking and water being on both sides of you? And there the water is being congealed, the water is stayed, and you walk on across on dry land. What a day God provided for the people at that time. But then if you take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel and the 17th chapter. And when you think about a great day, think about the day that David, the youth, came to the battle between the Philistines and the Israelites at the Valley of Elah. And you'll recall that Goliath, the champion of the Philistines, would come down into the valley and challenge the people of Israel, "Send down one of your mighty men and we'll have a winner-take-all contest. No need to go to battle. Just send down one of your men and I will fight him. And the winner will have to take the others captive." Here was the giant Goliath taunting the people of God. He was mocking the people of God. And yet that youth, David, came. And though everybody else trembled, David went down to fight. Can you imagine, my friend, that young man who had killed the bear, who had killed the lion, had been preparing himself for the day that he would face the giant. And that young man, filled with courage, but most importantly filled with faith in God, went down with his sling and he slew the giant. What a day that was when David killed that giant. What a great occurrence in the history of Israel when David showed forth the hand of God and the might of God. And notice, it said, the battle is the Lord's. David gave glory to God. He did not seek it for himself. He said, I come to you in the name of God. And that young man slew the giant. You know, my friend, I've often thought about all the people looked at him and said, he's just too big. But David said, he looks like he's too big to miss. And David went down there with the stone and killed the giant. But you know something else, my friend? What a day. What a day when you take your Bible and turn to the New Testament and think about in Matthew chapter 27 where they put Jesus upon the cross. Have you ever thought about that day? Oh, I know just a moment ago we took of the Lord's Supper, and I hope our minds thought about that day where they nailed him to the tree. And can you imagine what a day to hear his cries and to see the smirks on the face of the people who hated him? And the feeling of his disciples. There they nailed him to the tree. There they crucified him. There they mocked him and belittled him. And I'll tell you, my friend, they did not recognize that they were not eliminating him, but that they were fulfilling the will of God, just as Brother Carroll read a moment ago. That the Son of God had to be lifted up to fulfill the will of the Father, to establish His kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom, and to be a sacrifice unto God for man. But that brings up something else. Have you ever thought about what a day on the day of Pentecost? Have you ever thought that after Jesus had been raised from the dead, that some days later you'll see that Jesus showed Himself and told the disciples that He would send the Holy Spirit? And we read in Acts 1 where the Holy Spirit was going to be sent. And you remember the 12 were to wait in Jerusalem. And then in Acts 2, you'll find when the Holy Spirit came upon the 12 and the gospel was preached for the first time and the church was established. Oh, what a day. What a wonderful day when the Lord sent forth the Spirit to guide the apostles into all truth, and that the Lord's church was established, and man can become part of the body of Christ, be redeemed from their sin, and be saved from eternal damnation. What a day. But I want you to think about one thing that's very important. Have you ever thought about what a day when the Lord returns? We can recall all these days from a study of the Word, yet there will come a day that we all will experience, and it's going to be a great day. Open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. And when you come to 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll recall that at this time Peter is writing, and Peter is talking about some of the people who scoffed at the second coming of Christ. And yet notice that Peter, when he is writing, notice what he says. Peter says in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now watch it. But the day of the Lord, underscore that. The day of the Lord. What a day this is going to be. It will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and all the works that are in it will be burned up. Peter, throughout his epistle in 2 Peter and the third chapter, talks about the day of the Lord. And what a day that will be when the Lord returns and we're called up to meet Him. And this earth is destroyed. But you know what comes after that, my friend? There will be a judgment day. You want to talk about a day? Can you imagine the judgment day? Can you imagine as the Lord will stand, we stand before the Lord in the day of judgment? It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account for the deeds we've done, whether they be good or whether they be evil." Remember what Paul talked about in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter in verse 30 and 31 when he said, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent because He's appointed a day," underscore, "a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He's ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead." There will be a day of judgment. That will be a great day. But then I want you to think about the verdicts given on that day. Listen to the words of Jesus in the book of John in the 5th chapter. In the book of John in the 5th chapter in verse 28, Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who've done good," watch it, "to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." There will be a verdict. There will be a verdict, and I want you to think about, my man, what a verdict that will be. We will be judged. Open your Bible to the Revelation letter and the 20th chapter. And when you come to Revelation 20, look at verse 12. In verse 12, He said, "I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books." Then if you take your Bible, look in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, when Jesus is talking about the judgment scene, think about what Jesus had to say in about verse 46. In Matthew 25, in verse 46, He said, "These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." There will be a day when your eternal destination will be determined. And that will be the judgment day. Have you ever thought of that day? You know what, my friend? I'm fearful that we got a lot of people who've never thought of the judgment day. They've never thought that they will stand before the King, that they will stand before the judge and give an account for their deeds. And I want you to think, my friend, if you're not right with God this morning, that there is coming a day you need to understand you'll stand before God. And my question to you is, why would you put off obeying the gospel when you know there's coming a day, but you don't know when that day will come? Not even Jesus knows. He said only the Father in heaven knows that day. But there's coming a day that this old world will end. There's going to come a day that we'll die if the Lord doesn't come first. And my question is, have you thought about that day? Are you ready for that day? Are we ready to meet God in the judgment? I'll tell you something, my beloved friend. I would I had the ability to put into the hearts of people the fact that we will stand before Christ. And what we need to do is make sure that we are right with Christ. That we have obeyed the gospel and that we're living to glorify Him. Because in that day, we're going to give an account. There's some people here that I love that need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't know what has hindered you or kept you back, but I'll tell you, my friend, the reason you do it is not to please anybody except to please God and be right with God. That's the reason we become children of God, is that we want to go to heaven when we die. And what a day when He separates those on the left and those on the right. And He says to those on the left, "Depart from Me into everlasting fire." And He says to those on the right, enter into the joy of the kingdom of my Father. One question. If that day was today, which verdict would you hear? That's the most serious question you can ask yourself today. If one is lost, it's not because they didn't know the truth. We've preached the truth, and we've had individuals preach the truth here for years. But if one is lost, it's because they didn't obey the truth and come to God and receive His mercy and grace and pardon and the gift of eternal life. My prayer is that if you're not right with God, you get ready for that day. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you.